the sun is shining and all of my favorite plant friends are popping up right now. Speaking of plants, what are you growing this year? Do you know? Do you know what kind of medicine will be in your garden? Or are you still trying to figure it out? Totally okay if you're still trying to figure it out. We're all growing and learning on this journey, right? But if you want some help, I do have a family medicine garden guide. It's basically 10 essential herbs that I feel like every mom needs to know and grow in their yard. I give you some growing tips and ways that you can use it as medicine, and it's totally free. So if you want that, I'm going to pop a link in the show notes here for you to grab it and get your hands digging in the dirt and growing incredible medicine for you and your family. Hello, and welcome to The Herbalist Path, a podcast where you'll discover how to make your own herbal remedies at home so that you can take better care of yourself, better care of your family, and better care of our planet. I'm Mel. I'm a clinical herbalist, environmental educator, and mountain living mama with this crazy passion for teaching more mamas and their little loves how to use plants as medicine in a safe, effective, and tasty way so that there can be an herbalist in every home. Again, it's an absolute honor to have you on the journey down the herbalist path with me so that together, we can make herbalism. Hashtag spread like wildflowers. Welcome back to another episode on The Herbalist Path. I am really excited for today's conversation. I don't know where it's going to lead us, but I have an idea that it's going to be super fascinating for me and hopefully you as well. Today, my guest is Grace Yoon, and she is a Korean-American clinical herbalist, author, and founder of Qi Alchemy, which is an herbal company that specializes in growing and sourcing high-quality herbs and organic superfoods from South Korea. So I am incredibly excited to just chat with you, Grace, and to learn about some of the wisdom that you have to share in an area that I'm unfamiliar with. I've studied mostly Western herbalism all of my life, so I can't wait to hear about you and your story and what you do. So thank you so much, Grace, for being here.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Mel. And it's been great to just connect with fellow herbalists throughout the country. And being Korean American, I feel like there is a different kind of perspective that I can share with your audience. So thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I know you'll add so much value and insight to the episode. So one of the things I love to ask my guests, because it's always so fascinating and interesting, is just about your story. Like, how did you get into this world of herbal medicine? Because it seems that you really have done so much to help others in the world of herbal medicine. And yeah, I'd just love to hear about little Grace.
Yeah. Well, little Grace was born and raised in Dallas, Texas. And, you know, one of the few kind of Asians in Dallas at that time. And I had just two amazing grandmothers. My paternal grandmother was a farmer from South Korea in Paju. And my maternal grandmother was an Eastern medicine practitioner. So I grew up eating fresh vegetables and herbs, foraging with my grandmothers, and also getting acupuncture, cupping, starting from a very early age. Like, probably, I remember my first cupping session at probably age 5, when I had this huge ant bite, and my ankle was so swollen that my grandmother was like, okay, we're going to cup this and get all the inflammation out. And it kind of like traumatized me at that time, because as a 5-year-old, you're like, what is my grandmother doing with these needles? But it was such a huge relief right after. And I just felt like cured from it. And when I was like around 6 years old, I had a lot of chronic health issues that these that Western doctors didn't know how to diagnose. Shortness of breath, fevers all the time. And it was through my grandmother's their healing soups and herbal soups and stews and remedies that really enabled my body to heal naturally. And so that's when that was my journey or kind of start to herbalism. And, you know, having a fresh, like, so my paternal grandmother, who was the farmer, she missed her farm so much that back in Korea that she found actually a barren kind of field in Texas, just full of weeds and trash. So each day she went to that field and started pulling all the weeds and converted it into a beautiful herb garden for all the other Korean grandmothers to just grow crops and a beautiful garden. So when I think of that moment, I'm like, wow, like I want to be like my grandmothers one day where they like really harvested and like took care of the land. So that's my kind of start to herbalism.
Ooh, I love that so much. I'm one of the first that I know of in my family that practices herbalism on the regular. So I didn't have this passed down from my previous generation. So when I hear stories like this, it's so incredibly beautiful and inspiring. And it's one of my missions is to help more moms and grandmothers pass this information down again, like it used to be. And just how beautiful and fortunate that you had those grandparents around. I think that's so neat. So I'm really curious with that. Did your grandmothers pass along recipes and herbs as you got older and the knowledge of those kinds of things?
Definitely. But, you know, there was no written recipe. You just throw a few things here and there and measure and based on like who you're, you know, making the herbal remedies to. So I remember probably one of my first kind of herbal foods was acorn jelly. And so we would forage acorns and my grandmother would like soak them for hours, like several hours, and sun dry them. And we would make this amazing just acorn jelly. And acorn has one of the highest proteins. And so in Korea, they make it like a flour based with acorn. So that was something that was really memorable. And obviously she passed on that type of recipe to us. Also kimchi, like growing up, I ate kimchi all the time with all my meals. And now it's just so crazy to see how kimchi is like so mainstream now. You can buy it at Costco and it's like, oh, this is from my country. And it's just a beautiful thing to recognize that people are realizing the just the power of herbs and just like the nutritional value of fermented foods, right? The way kimchi was made in the beginning is for a very long shelf life. Korea was very poor at that time, post-Korean War. So they fermented almost everything. So in a way, it's, you know, the fermentation process is to preserve our foods so we can have it longer, you know?
And to save money for your family, but yet it's so amazing for our gut health. Like,
so good for them.
I didn't even think that it was like created out of a time like that. I had never thought of that. I was just like, oh, more fermented foods are really fantastic and can really help with your gut health. So that's awesome.
Yeah, and so one of the traditions in Korea that we have is called kimjang. So your whole community within your village, you make big batches, like gallons of kimchi together to store for the rest of the year. So,
Neat.
and then you like trade it because there's over 200 types of kimchis. So I do think that that is one of those staples in your fridge that you can, it's like sauerkraut, right? It's really great, full of probiotics, great for your gut health, and usually most people like it. I mean, sometimes it could be an acquired taste, but I would say if people like spicy and sour, that's like the perfect thing.
Yeah, I love kimchi. I love spicy. My daughter does not, but she tends to love Asian foods in general. So I'm hoping maybe I can like be like, this is an Asian dish, you
Well, does she
know? And
like pickled foods?
she loves pickles, like
Okay, yeah.
straight pickles. Sauerkraut, she's not such a huge fan of.
Has she
Yeah.
tried pickled radish before?
I hate radishes, so I'm not going to
Oh,
bring radishes into our
or
home.
pickled. There is a Korean version of pickled cucumber. Yeah, she might like that.
That's something we could probably get her into, I would imagine. That is really cool. I'm curious. So you have this book, The Korean American Apothec or Korean Herbal Apothecary, right? Do you talk about any kimchi recipes in
I
there
do
or
talk
herbs?
about kimchi and their how it originated. I talk about a lot of the different spices and sauces, vinegars that Koreans use in their everyday like culinary. So those are things like, for example, persimmon vinegar. You don't really see that in your grocery store, but Koreans use persimmon vinegar all the time. Another, and we have dried seaweed all the time. I mean, seaweed just has so many great health benefits, especially for postpartum moms. So that's one of the cultures, traditions that Koreans have. Like, we have postpartum centers in Korea, and I'm not sure if you've heard of these postpartum care centers. So after a mom gives birth to their child, they go straight to the center, and they have a whole staff of nurses, massage therapists, chefs, like babysitters. It's because the whole philosophy is, in order to raise a healthy child, you need to have the mom be nourished and restored from giving labor. And so one of the main soups that they consume during this postpartum time, usually it's 4 to 6 weeks, is seaweed soup. So, seaweed has full of iron and minerals. So that is a really amazing restorative soup. And we also consume it during our birthdays.
I wanted to take a quick pause to show some love and gratitude to our sponsors of the Herbalist Path podcast, who make this show possible for me and possible for you too. So here it goes. Medicinal mushrooms are all the rage these days, if you didn't know already. And with great reason, because they are powerful medicine that can improve your health and your life in so many different ways. When they're well made. Yeah, it's true. There's a lot of stuff on the market that isn't going to be so effective. And that's why you need to find a brand that you can actually trust.
For me, that brand is Whole Sun Wellness. And this is the creation of a brilliant woman and fellow mama, Jamie Bonfiglio. She's an international mushroom educator that has been working in the medicinal mushroom industry for years. And this is when she saw firsthand how many other companies take shortcuts when it comes to their products. And Jamie wasn't having it. She set out to build her company the right way. Whole Sun Wellness is here to raise the industry standards so those crap mushrooms on the market aren't getting into your body or your family's body. Whole Sun Wellness is the first company to test and report nutritional facts for all of their extracts. They go beyond industry standards every step of the way, from sourcing to extraction and final testing. And as the owners of the largest medicinal mushroom farm in the United States, Whole Sun Wellness is taking control of their supply chain for the highest quality and absolute full transparency. They're even the first company to include pure mycelium extract in every single product. So when you're thinking of getting medicinal mushrooms for you and your family, Whole Sun Wellness is exactly the ones you want. Also, be sure to check out their new Mycolites. These are the world's first dissolvable electrolyte tablets. They're featuring functional mushroom extracts that'll give you more energy, more stamina, and recovery as well. And who couldn't use all of that? The other thing is, they are these adorable little mushroom-shaped tablets, and they come in like a little Altoids box, but way cooler than Altoids, because they're Mycolites. Anyways, head to wholesunwellness.com to grab yourself some Mycolites and all of the other functional medicinal mushrooms that you and your family need. And of course, you can grab that link right here in the show notes now.
Nice. As a, like a loving gift to nourish your body and soul for the next year to come, right?
Yeah.
That sounds so beautiful. When you were talking about these postpartum centers, I'm like, can we just stop the episode right here and blast this out to the entire United States? Because moms here get so little care and so little love. It's really disgusting because making a human being is the hardest job any person can do
in the world.
And they're like, here you go back to work.
Exactly. And like other parts of the world, they really take care of the women. And you know, like in Korea, we have universal health care. And so this postpartum care is part of your insurance. You know, it's very affordable too. Acupuncture, all of these massage therapies, very affordable. I can get an acupuncture session for $10.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is so amazing. I keep speaking to my partner. I'm like, we really got to move out of the United States. And I hadn't thought of Korea. They were all talking about Japan because...
Oh, yeah. Japan has really great...
Do they?
Yeah. I mean, their lifestyle is... the thing about Japan and Korea, though, like, if you work in corporations, you work really, really hard. And so there's that other side as well. But in terms of just your everyday diet and, you know, lifestyle, I would say it's a lot healthier.
Yeah. My daughter's obsessed with sushi and with seaweed, and my partner is a ski bum. So we think about Japan for that. And he works in the ski industry. So it's like, let's go skiing in Japan and go eat sushi all day, every day.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Your family would love it.
I'm sure we would, but it sounds like Korea would be amazing too, with all of that, the care for human beings. Like, how beautiful.
Totally. Yeah. And it's so now, actually, surprisingly, in New York, there is a Korean postpartum care center in New York City, but it's very expensive. So I do think there's hope for America to kind of create new ways for moms to kind of care for themselves after labor, post-labor. And so, yeah, I mean, there's one in New York, at least, and hopefully, oh, actually, I heard LA too.
Nice.
Yeah.
So well, that's
expand.
It's really interesting that you bring that up. Like, you could get acupuncture for $10 in Korea, but here, you know, much respect to acupuncturists and all of the natural healers, it's definitely a more elitist kind of thing here. You have to have a lot of money, like this Korean labor and postpartum care center in New York costs a lot of money, right? But also, you were talking about how you're seeing kimchi in Costco. And as an herbalist and an educator, like I'm watching, and I'm sure you are too, the herbal revolution just exploding, especially since the pandemic. Yes. And so maybe we are in that middle of that resurgence that, like, hey, wait a second, what is going on here in the United States? Like, why are we being taken care of so poorly? And, you know, it, I don't care to get into politics.
I think, COVID was a wake-up call for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And I was actually in South Korea during that time. I felt safer there than living in the States at that time. And the way they kind of are just so careful and meticulous about their citizens' health, mm-hmm. it's amazing. Like, you have a 24-hour TV station that talks about health and wellness practices. They interview doctors on, like, preventative care. I mean, so it is very integrative with Eastern and Western, like, medicine. Mm-hmm. And they just know that preventative care is really essentials to avoid chronic pain. And so I do think that we need to go back to our ancestry, back to the land, back to natural resources, mm-hmm. instead of just following the mass production of things.
Yeah.
And I mean, even with our land, if you think about monocropping, one of my mentors, Catherine Hunziker, I don't know if you know her from Wishgar.
Absolutely. I love her so much. Actually, I'll be recording a commercial after this episode for Wish Gardens.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Yeah. She, you know, she is one of those OG Western herbalists. And she, during the 70s, she was protesting against monocropping. And now it's like coming full circle where, like, we have ruined our soil. And all of the GMOs that are in our foods, it's just we really have to be more mindful about how we purchase goods, how we make our foods too, for the sake of our kids and the future. So yeah, I don't know where I'm going with this, but
I couldn't agree more on all of those statements. And I, you know, I feel like the awareness of that is heightened so much. I'm actually also a part of this self-sufficient living bundle at this very moment of time of recording this. When the episode comes out, it'll be gone. But it's all about baking sourdough breads and growing your own organic food and herbalism and raising your own livestock and living off the land and taking better care of the land, because when we're taking better care of the land, we're taking better care of ourselves. And when we're conscious of taking better care of ourselves, we want to take better care of the land. And again,
it comes full circle, right? Mm-hmm.
It's just really beautiful seeing how many people again are waking up to it. And
totally, yeah. And I really hope that this sustains, right? That we continue to be aware of these things and educate ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. Herbalism is a very broad subject too. And a lot of people think it's like hocus pocus or mystical, but there's science behind it too. And if we really understand and educate ourselves on the health benefits of herbs and, you know, where things are coming from, then I think we'll be more conscious about helping the environment, right? And for the future of our families. So yeah, I do think that there's hope, but there people like us need to just build more awareness in this subject.
Yeah, there is hope and there's a lot of work to be done.
Yes.
And unfortunately, there are, you know, I feel like I'm going to get too political in it, but there's just so many people out there that are in control of the government and the money and the laws. And, you know, they've got the money. And so they will pay to try and silence people like you and I, silence people like Catherine. But we still have to play the game in some ways. But the game now becomes this raising of awareness. And that's where the power of things like podcasts and things like social media and brilliant authors writing books and people that really care getting out there and sourcing herbs and foods in a sustainable way is.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely how it has to go.
Yeah. And I know that like even the supplement industry, there's just like new supplements coming out. And it's like, really, can we just focus on where focus on improving, like educating people on why they need to take these instead of like trying to sell another product. Mm-hmm. And it's, it's really frustrating, but I do think brands like Wish Garden and like, I don't know if you know Hannah Kroger, she was a master Western herbalist in Boulder, Colorado, too, from the 50s. She opened up the first, like, I think she's from, she was a nurse in Germany and brought her family in Colorado to Colorado in the 50s and was one of the first to create a natural food market here. So, you know, when you hear about these wise women and how they, I mean, it just happened organically, you know, yeah. And that's how plant medicine should be.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, absolutely. And it's so funny that you bring up the supplements and Wish Garden of all companies. Wish Garden is a company I've loved forever. And I met Catherine at the Naturopathic College here in Portland, Oregon at Traditional Roots Institute. And I had my product line there. She had Wish Garden there and she was teaching and like, we just connected so incredibly well. And now today with the supplements industry and influencer marketing and all of this junk that is out there, like I get pitched every day from another company about, will you promote my products? Will you promote my products? And I'm like, hell no, I won't, because I don't know you. Number one, like the companies I'm supporting are people I know. I know them because they've been doing this for a long time. I know that their heart is in it for the betterment of the planet and the betterment of the people, not just because, wow, natural remedies are trending today. So I'm going to go online and pick somebody else's recipe, put it in a formula, throw a bunch of money at it and hope that it sells. Like as somebody who also started an herbal product line, and I did it because I wanted to save the planet. That was my whole why behind it.
You know? Yeah, I just wanted to share like how Koreans take herbs.
Yeah.
And it's in that pearl-like shape. And that's like historically from like the Joseon dynasty, like that they made the Hwan. It's called Hwan in Korean. But yeah, it's really interesting how people are just making more products and it's like there's already a lot that is out there. Like, mm-hmm. I think now it's for us to practice like minimalism and mm-hmm. going back to the basics of things and just trying to make our own remedies.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Yeah. I'm a huge fan of making my own remedies. It's what I do now today is teach others how to make their own remedies. But there also comes this point when it takes a long time and we're all busy in the society. And I speak to moms and moms are busy. And as cool as it is to make everything,
Yeah.
It also takes a lot of time unless you have that community built around you where you can, you know, trade and mix and match and teach your children how to do this, which is absolutely magical. But that really just brings me to your company, Chi Alchemy. And I want to just hear more about it and what you do, because again, I'm not Korean. I was born in Germany and I've lived in the United States for 41 years. So,
well, where in Germany?
Wiesbaden, outside of Frankfurt.
Okay. Okay. I have a dear friend who lives in Freiburg.
Nice. Yeah. I left when I was 4 and then I didn't go back until I was 31. And so still have very much German roots.
Yeah, I feel like Germans have very high standards with like food quality, you know, and you can't just sell a supplement in Germany. There's a lot of barriers to entry, which I think that the U.S. should start doing more.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, for sure. But I do think the FDA is trying to crack down on like the supplement industry, but hopefully they target the bad ones, right?
Yeah, it becomes such a conflicting kind of thing. Like, you know, again, I ran my own herbal product line. I played by the FDA rules, but I also knew how to get really wordy with my witty with my verbiage on the packaging, because there's so much that you can't say and so much that you can't do per the FDA. And so it's like this fine balance of let the people make their medicine and also play by the rules. Because if you go onto Etsy and you see some of the stuff on Etsy, you know, things like clear see-through St. John's wort oil, like buy my St. John's wort oil. And I'm like, you don't know what you made at all.
Yeah.
And like the claims and things that go on in there, or just the big people that had the money to throw it into a supplement business with nothing backing it.
Having big pharma trying to use the FDA to, you know, flag certain really amazing supplement companies that are doing well. So
yeah,
it's a hard journey, I would say, but I do think that, like you said, the more people who are aware and educated about this type of lifestyle is, there's just going to be more of us.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's really important that you just mentioned lifestyle, right? Because I don't think this would be the case in Korea, but here you probably see this where those that are turning to this world of herbal medicine, I talk about this a lot, but one of the biggest things that I get asked every time is, what herb do I take for this problem? Or what is this herb going to, what's it good for? You know, and to understand that it's not just take an herb to mask your problems like we are taught in Western medicine today, but it is a lifestyle. It's a whole body healing.
Hey, I wanted to take a quick pause to show some love and gratitude to our sponsors of the Herbalist Path podcast, who make this show possible for me and possible for you too. So here it goes. I love this time of year. It's spring, the sun is shining, and all of our beautiful plant friends are popping up. It's amazing. Unless, of course, you're one of the millions of people who suffer from seasonal allergies. You know, the itchy, watery eyes, the sneezing and wheezing that's straight miserable. Thankfully, there are some amazing herbs that can help you with all of that. Just like the herbs inside of Kick-Ass Allergy from Wish Garden Herbs, one of my absolute favorite herbal companies out there. Kick-Ass Allergy, yes, I said ask without the K at the end. Anyways, this formula has yerba santa, nettles, echinacea for that immune support, and orange peels, all which come together to help dry up those excessive mucosal secretions. Yep, I'm talking about the sniffles and the stuffy nose, the watery eyes, and all that jazz. This blend also acts as a great expectorant and can help ease the swelling and inflammation in those mucosal tissues. It is a top go-to for seasonal allergies. And get this, they combine all those beautiful herbs with glycerin, so it actually tastes pretty darn good. Or should I say, it tastes kick-ass, without the K at the end. Anyways, if allergy season is miserable for you and you want a natural remedy that actually works for those itchy eyes and being all sneezy and wheezy, you have got to check out Wish Garden Herbs Kick Ask Allergy. And for those of you with the little kiddos, no sweat, they've got a kick it allergy too. And you pregnant mamas? You don't have to suffer either. They've got a kick-ass allergy formula just for you. So head over to wishgardenherbs.com or check out the link in the show notes and go grab yourself some kick-ass allergy so you can enjoy spring again.
Totally. And it's finding the root cause of the pain, right? Or whatever condition that you have, right? And that takes time and that takes a change or shift in your lifestyle as well. You can't, I think that in America, we're conditioned to find quick fix solutions. Like this probiotic is going to just fix your gut health or,
ta-da! You don't have to shift your diet at all.
Yeah. And it's like, no, there's no one solution. It's you kind of have to be your own alchemist, right? And your own herbalist to figure out which herbs, how they kind of react to your and adapt to your body. In terms of like Koreans, our daily diet, have you had Korean food before?
A little bit, but you know, aside from kimchi, a few other things, but I do love kimchi.
Yeah, if you go to a Korean restaurant, they usually have several mini dishes, and those are essentially all herbs that you're consuming, right? And that is our daily diet. And then you have your rice. You usually have a side of some type of fermented soup. It's this holistic kind of lifestyle that you are practicing, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me, growing up with Korean grandmothers, it was just, second nature. But for your average American who grew up eating a lot of, instant foods or, burgers, fries, whatever, it's also just making sure that you are balancing out like your nutritional kind of, the nutritional foods, right? There's no nutritional intake in eating French fries or tater tots.
Right.
So being able to make that shift in your lifestyle is really hard. Mm-hmm. And so I think being part of a community like yours or, just accountability is so important in those times. I think that lifestyle is a big part of an herbalist path.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So speaking on that, I really want to learn about some Korean herbs and some of the more common ones. Just let you just kind of flow in that way.
Yeah.
If you don't mind.
Okay. So one of the kind of most common herbs that Koreans use that they consume like for food, but also for skincare, because, K-beauty, I'm not sure if you know anything about K-beauty, but it's very mainstream. There's a lot, the big like beauty companies like L'Oreal and Estee Lauder, they do their research and development in Korea.
Huh.
For skincare. And so I think we know a thing or two about like mixing herbs with skincare. But
I will interrupt to say that your skin looks fabulous on this screen. So if that's any testament.
Well, we do a lot of when we talk about lifestyle with just skincare is a big part of it too. I mean, you know, our skin is the biggest organ in our bodies. And so it's really important to take care of it too. But I would say mugwort is one of those healing herbs. It's antibacterial. In Korea, it's called suk. And it was created during the Joseon dynasty, one of the first Korean dynasties. And basically it is a lot of women take this during postpartum too as like a bath soak. It really helps, reduces inflammation. It's antifungal. And it's also mixed in a lot of Korean skincare products. So and then also it's mugwort is used in Korean cuisine too. So traditional rice cakes, and you can mix it in rice as well. So yeah, it's really great for just menstrual pain as well. The bath culture, like bathhouses and spa culture in Korea is like, that's what you do with your family activity. Like at least once a month, you just go to these bathhouses and just soak in like mugwort or, you know, what's another one? They have like rose petals too in some of the baths. But yeah, I would say mugwort is one of those everyday herbs that Koreans take.
Love that. I've never really, like, I love mugwort and have used it for a very long time, but it's not something I really thought of instantly as skincare. So that's, I mean, I think with as bitter as it is and just helping the liver function better, that's going to go to skincare right away. But that's really cool to think about. So I know Artemisia.
Weed here.
Yeah. Most people hate it here. I've done some classes teaching people all on mugwort, and I'm just trying to think back, like, did I talk about skincare specifically there or not? Because it was about a year.
Yeah, it is a bitter herb to consume. So that's why I kind of recommend using it as like a bath soak or a foot soak if you don't like the taste of it. Mm. Or like infuse it in like an oil for your skin.
Ooh, that sounds lovely. I love that tip. That's fantastic. Thank you.
Yeah. I would also say red ginseng is really notable in Korea, especially. We are known to produce the best red ginseng in the world. And in terms of like cultivating it, it takes about 6 years for it to mature and for farmers to harvest it. And I know ginseng in general in the Appalachian, it's becoming more and more endangered. And what's interesting about red ginseng in Korea is that the government pretty much owns most of the ginseng in Korea. That's how prized and coveted. They know the value of these medicinal roots. So I thought that was really interesting how the Korean government is very involved in preserving these types of herbs and making sure that the farmers, you know, I don't know if there are many farmers in America that, you know, grow herbs as a crop, but in Korea, it's very common and they work with the Korean government. So
that's really great.
Yeah,
I think, because you know.
They know they're guaranteed. So the government gives, you know, guarantees a certain amount to purchase the ginseng every year. Mm-hmm. So it also helps the farmers to know that they're going to get paid a certain amount from the government.
I love that because I see that you have red ginseng on your website available. Yes. For people, and I'm getting this hunch that you really care a lot about your sourcing and the sustainability of what you're sharing with people too.
Yeah. So our family, we have a small farmhouse in Korea, and we grow our own herbs as well as source from local farmers that we know. And one thing that I want to do eventually is try to source the best quality herbs all around the world with local farmers. And so I think sourcing is probably one of the hardest things to make quality formulas. And, you know, it's herbs that are native to certain countries. It's like, that's where you want to source. And so red ginseng is that highly prized herb from Korea.
Yeah. And I'm curious if you want to share, what are some of the great ways that red ginseng can help people?
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, red ginseng, to me at least, it's considered the king of all herbs. It just has so many health benefits, everything from like even mental health. It helps focus. There's a lot of studies now that shows that it helps. And I don't know if I can say this publicly because, but I'll say it. But there are studies that show a delay in dementia when people take red ginseng. And red ginseng goes through a hot cold fermentation process. And that's why it's called red ginseng instead of like, you know, white ginseng or just regular ginseng. And through that fermentation process, that fermentation process helps produce more saponins, which is a phytochemical that helps with lowering inflammation levels. It also helps with people with diabetes. So it's one of these. And you just take small doses of it. Usually in Korea, they take it as a tea. You can take ginseng tea. They even have like ginseng chocolates in Korea. But small doses of it. And I really think it's like one of those just amazing herbs. But it's expensive. Right. Yeah. So
is the not taking care of yourself today.
That's true.
So it's a choice.
It definitely is a choice. And so I highly recommend red ginseng. Another one. I mean, should I share another one?
Yeah, I will. Also, I just want to like interject quickly because I heard you and felt your pain when you're like, I'm not sure if I can say this, because I remember like as clinical herbalists and as product makers, there is so much that we cannot say. And that's one of the great joys I have in not having a product line now. I can teach people the truth and I can shout it loud. And, you know, there are studies showing it. So just my heart goes to you and feeling your moment there. And thank you for saying, yes, there are studies that back it up. So,
yeah. Yeah. So if the FDA comes after me, I can show these studies.
Yeah, and they're not going to, because it's not like you're putting some structure function claim on your packaging right now.
Yeah, exactly. But I do think that going back to the roots of plants and these herbal remedies, bracken root, for example, is that's the root of the fern. We consume on a regular basis and we make it.
Sorry, I just got excited. I'm like, so you're talking like bracken fern, like the...
Yes.
I don't know the Latin name at all, but I know it grows so much that I'm always pulling it out of my yard and or my garden area. That's fascinating. I think plants are so funny that way. Yeah, please do. I would love it because I'm in Oregon and ferns are prevalent.
Yeah, and it's so, so nutritious. And this is kind of, this is what I'm talking about when Koreans have these like small dishes of all these different types of herbs. It's because our country was so poor. We were just like foraging to eat, and we made these like very nutritious herb dishes. So yeah, the Bracken fern you can eat. Although for some reason, while I was doing research, people warn that it's poisonous or whatever, but it really, I mean, Koreans take it as a cuisine very.
That's so fascinating and exciting to learn. I love that about plants. There's been a few plants in, well, so many plants in my journey that have taught me the most amazing lessons. Where at one point, like burdock, I see
Oh,
you love
yes.
burdock, but one of my great stories of burdock, it kind of relates to the bracken fern, like where I'm like, get out of my yard, get out of my garden, before I knew what burdock was, because I have an Aussie Shepherd Border Collie mix, and
Wow.
he's almost 15 now, but when he was a young pup, we lived on some land and there was burdock everywhere. And of course, those burrs would get into his beautiful fur. And it was
Oh.
so frustrating. And I remember this one time where I was like, darn this plant, when I finally realized it was coming, where it was coming from. And I ripped it out of the ground, roots and all, and took it over to the fire pit. And I remember thinking, I bet this plant has some good medicine. And I was so mad at the plant at the time. And then I think 6 months later, there was this connection where I was reading about different herbs, and this woman was sharing information on burdock, and she had a picture of the seeds in her hand online. And I was like, those are the seeds. That's the plant. And it just made this funny little connection. So that's how I feel about bracken fern right now.
Where was that?
In Oregon, just
Yeah, Oregon. Ugh.
yeah.
Oregon has so many just amazing, just wild
Yeah.
herbs grown everywhere.
Yeah. And it's such a gift to know about them. Like I remember when the pandemic hit, I live in the foothills of Mount Hood in a really beautiful rural area. And I'm like, this is fine. I have a whole herbal apothecary. I know the plants outside. Like nobody's on the trails. Sweet. This is great. Of course, it was scary seeing all the changes in the world, but I could
Yeah.
not have felt more grateful to know how to live among the land.
Totally. That's
Yeah.
awesome.
Anyways, yeah, I would love recipes on bracken
Oh,
fern.
yeah. I'll definitely send you that and some of my products for you to try.
Cool. That's so exciting. This has been really, really fun, and I'm so grateful that you brought up the postpartum care. Like I really, really am. That is so
Yeah.
important. And talking about the nourishment, not only the nourishment in the food, but the nourishment in the touch and the care
Other.
and the emotional support that moms so desperately need.
Yeah. So, there's a Korean version of doulas called Sanujori, and basically they stay with the mother for about 6 to 8 weeks.
Wow.
And they help not only care for the baby, but they do all the cooking. They help with bath soaks, massage therapy. So they're very well trained to kind of multitask when, especially when the mother is recovering and she's like sleep deprived. And that type of care is universal in Korea. Like every woman gets it. So
Wow.
I really hope that one day in the US, like postpartum care is part of our insurance, and part of just our everyday care that's
Yeah.
necessary to raise healthy children.
And a mandatory paid 2 months off of work.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah.
That would be so beautiful. It would really improve
So
everything.
many, everything. Yeah.
It really, really would. This has been so amazing, Grace. I am so glad that we got to connect. And
Likewise.
I want to make sure that everybody that is listening can connect with you as well. Like, I want to talk with you forever and ever. And I'm definitely going to invite you to teach inside of Apothecary Mama.
Cool.
But how can the listeners today connect with you and make sure that they are getting high quality red ginseng and grab your book and all of those things?
Yeah, so my website is just qi, or in Korea it's pronounced qi, qi alchemy.com, or on Instagram, Key Alchemy, at Key Alchemy. And you can purchase my book on Amazon or through my website. So, and it's The Korean Herbal Apothecary.
That's amazing. Are you on Bookshop yet?
Bookshop. I think I am.
Great. I have a book resources link, and just one of my ways to support more women in business and small independent bookstores. So I'll definitely link to your book there as well. So exciting.
Yeah. And if anyone is in the Colorado Boulder area where I am, I'll be doing a book signing in April at the Boulder Bookstore, which should be really great. And you can find that information on my website.
That's so fun. Boulder's such an amazing area. I haven't been there in so long, but I have friends there and Wish Garden and Catherine and some other ski bum friends that live there. Did you ever connect with the people? I'm trying to think of the name of their company off the Collacloths.
Collacloths? No.
They made like beeswax wraps and things. And we used to see each other at trade shows when I ran my company. Oh, and
very cool. Okay. Collacloths. Yeah. How do you spell that?
K-H-A-L-A. Though I just recently looked them up, and I'm not sure if they exist as a company anymore, but hopefully...
They're Boulder-based?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There are also a 1% for the Planet company, as I was, so I always love seeing those kinds of...
Yeah, I'm 1% too.
Yay!
Yeah. I'm trying to switch over to B Corp, but it's expensive.
Mm-hmm. So. It sure is. All those things take so much out of a small business. And
yeah. Yeah. You obviously know it's creating a product line is costly.
Yes. That's part of what made me stop after 12 years.
Yeah. If you want to source the right, like, quality herbs and all the time that you make it, it's very costly. And yeah. And also importing it, like where I import the herbs from Korea. So that can be costly too. So that's why, hence that sort of higher price point on my products.
But it's so worth it, you know, and I get where you're coming from as a product maker. Like when I ended, a tin of my tea was $17, but today, with the change of like how herbal prices have skyrocketed, how the packaging has skyrocketed, how the labels, how every little thing, like I'm looking back now and the prices of my packaging are more than two times of what they used to be for one unit of packaging. And I'm just like, I'd be selling my teas at like $25 a tea.
Wow.
But I mean, if you want quality, you got to pay for it.
Yeah.
For at sure. least in the United States.
Yeah. And the time that you're, you know, formulating and all that stuff too. So,
yeah.
But thank you so much, Mel, for having me.
Yes. Thank you so much. I am really so grateful that we've connected.
Likewise.
And have a great day.
I'll see you soon.
Yes, absolutely. We will stay connected. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning into another episode of The Herbalist Path. Being on this journey with you is absolutely incredible. If you dig this episode, please leave me a review on your favorite podcast player and share it with your friends so that together we can make herbalism hashtag spread like wildflowers. On another note, I must mention that while I know you're getting some good info here, it's important to remember that this podcast is purely for entertainment and educational purposes and is not intended to be a substitute for medical treatment. While the information in this podcast is absolutely relevant, herbs work differently for each person and each condition. That's why I recommend you work with a qualified practitioner, whether that be another herbalist, a naturopath, or your doctor. So thank you again. I am truly honored that you're tuning into these episodes and on the path with me to make sure that there's an herbalist in every home again. Don't forget to share this episode with your friends so that we can make herbalism hashtag spread like wildflowers.